All right, can we pray? I want to pray today because today we're talking about the bedroom in our Full House series. And my prayer today is that everybody walked out of here with an absolute clear understanding as to a knowledge of what God's Word says on this. And we are all here wanting to bring our life in alignment to the wisdom of the Word of God. Would you say amen to that? And not in any way do we want anyone to feel condemned, but we do want everyone to know the standard of the wisdom of the Word of God. There are no perfect Christians. Can anybody say amen to that? If you think you are, let's get it over and done with. Please fly around the room and show us how spiritual you are. Amen? The Bible says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but there is conviction, and there is a need for us to make adjustments. Amen?
Yep.
And when we see the Word of God, it's a mirror. We see ourselves and we make the adjustments. Yeah. Is that good?
That's awesome.
So that's the premise we're working off. I want to say also, as we're teaching this, I realize I'm talking to our church. I do not expect people who are not Christians to behave like they are. Amen? So this is a message that I actually want to say. I hope as Christians that we want to at least live up to the name Christian.
Yeah.
Amen? And when we see ourselves in the Word of God, we are willing to make whatever adjustments we'll need to make. Have I had to make a few adjustments having seen myself in the Word of God?
Yeah, we both have.
Have you had to make adjustments?
Totally.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. All right. Father,
thank you, Lord.
Pray that you speak to us today. Pray, Lord, that we would just have fun in this message and we'd hear from heaven the wisdom of your Word. And everybody said,
Amen.
All right. Just give your partner a little squeeze of hand, or if you're sitting next to your partner, that is. All right, I got to get my iPad out. I'm not really all together here, am I?
Just going to move this a little bit. Welcome to all of our campuses, by the way. We are connecting with all of our campuses, and it's so good to be speaking with all of you today on the subject of the bedroom, sex.
Absolutely. And so far, we've spoken on the living room, which we talked about, you know, just all the furniture in the living room points to the television. And I use that as a catapult into talking about devices and about the effect that can have in family relationships and the effect it can have on genuine friendships and the distractions that can come. So if you'll remember, we talked about in that statistic, 10% of people have admitted to looking at their device during sex. During sex. I mean, that says something right there. And I think, what was the other statistic? It's gone. I think it's 15% admitted to it looking at straight after having sex.
Yeah, maybe it was a bit higher than that, actually.
It may have been, actually. I'm just trying to remember. You talked about bring back the family dinner.
Yeah.
And then we went into the kitchen. We said, you are what you eat. And we did the Harvard food pyramid. And that was not the point of the illustration. It was just to give us a healthy spiritual pyramid. And how do we have the right appetite? Then from there, we went into the game room with Dr. Andrew Doan, and we did a deep dive into screen and game and addictions and how to look for help there. Today, we're getting into the bedroom. Then next Sunday, we're going to be in the mud room, the laundry room. Steve Kennedy, one of my favorite preachers anywhere. Matter of fact, he's preaching at a friend of mine's church, and this friend's texting me going, oh my gosh, this guy is so good. Where's he been? And I'm so excited for you next Sunday to have Steve Kennedy talking about the mudroom. And then the final Sunday, we got the Reverend Josh Kicker. How do you like that, Josh? Reverend Josh Kicker doing the garage, and it's Father's Day. So Josh is doing Father's Day. How many think Josh is a great communicator?
Yes.
I love it when Josh speaks. Okay, so first, everyone who's married is going to get a copy of this book, one book per married couple, by Ed and Lisa Young, and it's called Sexperiment. Free copy to every married couple. As you walk out today, those books will be on the table. I saw one person walk out with three, and I kind of looked and went, hey. And she goes, no, it's for my two married kids. They couldn't able to be here today. I said, you're good, because I think it's great that people get a copy of this, okay? So that's happening. And the premise of this book really is to bring sex back into the bedroom by God's design.
Right.
That's
right.
What I love. That's why we are completely giving everybody a copy of this, because Ed and Lisa really talk about let's bring sex back into the bedroom by God's design. That's what's really good about this book. And having all the right furniture and the right bedding doesn't create intimacy in a marriage. This is not Alice in Wonderland. Are you hearing me? So I want to start by saying God is the creator and the designer of sex. Praise the Lord. We need to get that clock moving, otherwise we'll go too long. God, you should hear all the thoughts, I think, that I don't speak out loud. Okay. Thank you. God is the creator and the designer of sex. Our culture, and I want you to hear this, has flipped it and made God's view primitive and out of touch. But I want to say God created mankind. He created sex. We are fearfully and wonderfully made by the superior, infinite wisdom of God and how human beings ought to be operating. Can anybody say amen to that? And so listen to Genesis 1 verse 26. Then God said, let us make man or mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea. Lord, let that be true as I'm going deep sea fishing in a couple of weeks. And the birds in the sky and over the livestock and over all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created, watch this, mankind in his own image. The image of God, listen, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So I just got to start by saying God created sex. He created a man, he created a woman. Listen to what he said in Genesis 1:28. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. In other words, get it on. Okay? And fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea. There it is again. And the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves along the ground. So God told them to be fruitful and to multiply. And I want to make it clear. Sex isn't just for having babies. It's meant to have fun in the process. Oh, you're being very prudish. I think they're too scared to say amen.
They're not sure.
They're not sure about sex was meant to be fun.
Is this a trick question? Where are you going with this?
It is meant to. You've got to enjoy this thing, okay?
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I just want to start by saying this is God the creator. God designed it. And there's no shame. We got to bring this back in. We got to bring God back into the bedroom. Amen. We are made in his image. Praise the Lord.
Amen. You know, our heart for today is really, you know, we want your marriage to flourish, honestly, and not just be okay, be great, and the area of your sexual life to be great. Yeah. And, you know, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, or 70s, 80s, 90s, I can't remember which couple of decades, there was a sexual revolution that took place that changed kind of the course of a lot of things. Yep. And that was that we should be able to have sex with whoever we want, when we want, the way we want, without any consequences. Yep. And obviously now in 2022, we're realizing there are a lot of consequences to that. And so I just want to share a couple of verses too, because I think it's important that our premise of what marriage is and how God designed it is really important as believers, because our culture can very easily trickle into church world or our life as believers. We can embrace things that clearly are not what God intended, because God sees sex within marriage as holy. You know, I love when couples get married, and I'm all for the celebration and the party afterwards. I think that is awesome. A new family is birthed. But the reality is, when two people pledge their lives to each other, it's a sacred moment. Yeah. In that moment, something supernatural happens. God doesn't see two people anymore, one person. And the fulfillment of that is sex after the wedding day, right? Yeah. But I just love those moments when, as they're saying their vows to each other, Holy Spirit, come and just invade our presence and show us what this really, really means. So a couple of verses I want to talk about. Genesis 2, 24 to 25 says, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. And that's the beautiful picture of marriage, naked and no shame. And then in the New Testament, Mark 10, 6 through 9, but at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. And then unto Hebrews 13:4, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. So marriage should be honored by all. In other words, we respect everybody's marriages, right? We understand that this is a sacred covenant relationship. And I think that is really important for all of us. Respect and honor each other's marriages. The marriage bed kept pure. What does that even mean? What does that look like? It means when a husband and wife are having sex, that's keeping the marriage bed pure. No one else is coming into that bed.
Yep.
Everything of today's culture wants to redefine what purity is, saying, what you're teaching, it's old-fashioned, it's out of touch, and, it's different. It's 2022, but let me tell you, God designed us, He made us.
Yeah.
And the human heart, the human soul, the human mind, it's still the same.
Yeah.
Promise you. We think we can alter everything, push the boundaries, it doesn't matter. It's 2022, we can do it differently. I promise you, we can't.
Yeah.
God is the author and he designed us, he made us, he knows how we work. And so these scriptures are not a mandate, do, do, do. It's actually a love letter of, listen, I want you to live an amazing life. To do that, let me invite you in and show you what that should look like.
I love what you say, because everything about today's culture wants to redefine purity. That is so true. We can't even define what a woman is in today's culture. The question can't even be answered anymore. It's like we're confused, but we got to go to the author and the designer, and we got to go to the book of instructions. Do you know what the Bible is? Basic instruction before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, about basic instructions for living, B-I-B, basic instructions before leaving earth.
Yeah.
Got it. I didn't know how to spell Bible for a minute there. Praise the Lord.
Oh, man.
Okay, and so here's what the Bible says, Proverbs 5, verse 15. It says, drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Well, of course, that is flies in the face of today's idea of what sex looks like. Today, it's like Sharon said, who you want, when you want, where you want, how many people you want. But the Bible's very clear here about monogamy, about being faithful and to one person in the covenant of marriage. And I want to say, everybody has the freedom of choice. If I'm going to tell you how to live, I'm going to pay your rent. And you can say, well, I don't agree with you, Steve. That's fine. You don't have to. But you do have to realize we're reading from the Word of God here, and it's God's Word, and it's God's wisdom, and He made us. And I'm not so sure that the person that's created should be telling the Creator how to do His job. Amen? And so everybody has the freedom of choice. Everybody does. But nobody has the freedom of consequences. And God puts railroad tracks, principles that we live our life by, because He's the author, He's the designer. It says, should your springs overflow into the streets, your streams of water in public squares, let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. That says, may your fountain be blessed, may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. Listen to this, men. May her breasts satisfy you always. And all the men said, there it is.
That's when the men get loud, right?
Yes.
Normally then it's too scared to say
just
anything.
Just mention breasts and men get excited.
Yeah.
May you ever be intoxicated with her love. Here's the thought. Do you know that saying, if I married her, if I, the grass always looks greener somewhere else. If only I married him. Can I tell you, the grass is green where you water
so
it.
True.
Amen? So don't go down the comparison. Don't go down that road of, I wished I had this, I wished I didn't have. Can I just say that you make it work in Jesus' name? Amen? You don't go outside the confines of marriage. I'm going to read you one more verse in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. This is Paul writing, and this is often a misunderstanding of teaching in church. So Paul actually is writing, goes, now, for the matters you wrote about, then you said, this is Paul saying, you said it is good for a man not to have sexual relationships with a woman. So Paul's not saying it is good for a man not to have sex. He's going, I'm writing to you about what you suggested. Have you got this? You suggested it's not good for a man to have sex. You got it? What person wrote that? Okay. Wow, it is kind of quiet. The 9 o'clock were actually way more relaxed than the 11. Okay. But since sexual immorality is occurring, that's what Paul's saying, each man should have sexual relationships. Listen to this, with his own wife. Paul is countering what they said. Paul's going, no, no, we live in a fallen world. You need, God created us. You need, and if you don't, you will go outside the marriage. Okay, thank you for that underwhelming response.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. Even my microphone's going off. Each woman with her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty. I don't think any man thinks it's a duty to his wife. And likewise, the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to a husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. Listen to Paul. Do not deprive each other, except perhaps by mutual consent for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again. So Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Well, Paul says, unless you both agree to for a time of prayer and fasting, but then to abstain from sex in a marriage relationship, that's okay. But then afterwards, make sure you get back to it.
Yeah.
I like Paul.
I think too, you know, the Corinthians were a mess, you know, their culture was totally immoral. I think, you know, Paul's, the spirit of the letter is it was a kick in the pants, you know, which I actually think we all need. There's times when, you know, maybe you drove to church today and you had a big fight the whole way here, and as what happens, you walk in the door and you're all smiles and you're thinking, no sex for you tonight, you know what I mean?
Right.
May today be a little bit of a kick in the pants and say, hey, this is a gift. All of me is for all of you, the same as all of you is
all
for all of me.
Of me.
Loves all of you.
And all of you. Ooh, if I could only sing and romance you like that.
But the truth is, sex is a gift. God created us to have sex. It's a gift that I give to you.
Yeah.
You know, and as he's saying duty, I think we could sometimes get the wrong impression. Like, you know, I remember a husband coming to me and holding his Bible up and saying, tell my wife that, and I'm like, buddy, you've lost the plot here. Like, literally, what did you read the scripture about husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church and laid it down? You know what I mean? It's like we pick out what we want. But I think just in that scripture you read, the spirit of it is, come on, guys. You need to be having sex. It's funny, I had a girlfriend, a pastor's wife one time say, why is it that I have to tell all my single girls in my church, stop having sex? And all the married girls in my church, you need to have sex, right? And I think this is kind of a kick in the pants. Hey, don't get lazy in this area. Don't put walls up in your heart.
Yep.
All of me, you know, when I said my vows to you, that's it.
Yep.
You have my heart. You have everything about me.
Yep.
And I think that's...
You have my body, darling.
I have it. I got it.
It's all yours.
yes, I do. I'm so happy. Okay. I know today that there are marriages in here that are great. You're in a really great season and you're just loving life. It's like marriage could not be better. I know there are some here sitting watching. Your marriage is good, but there's some things you need to be hard, and it's just been a hard season, and maybe that hard season has gone on for a long time. Or maybe you walked in here and you're like, I'm ready to get out. You know,
Well, there's health issues too, isn't there?
Yeah, and my hope is that you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you today. This isn't Steve and I getting up here and saying we've got it all together and we have it, but we don't, I promise
we don't.
We've had to work through and have conversations.
Yep.
But listen, if this area of your life, if your sex life, if it's just hard and it's just not happening, or it's just difficult, or there's just a disconnect, get help.
Yep.
Don't just say, well, this is as good as it gets. It's not as good as it gets, I promise you. That's not what God intended for marriage. So talk to your spouse. Is there a moment where you can be? Because I get it.
Yep.
talking about this, you have to be very vulnerable to, yeah, with each other and go, hey, this is hard. Or there's what comes out when you start the conversation is a lot of hurt,
yeah,
a lot of pain, a lot of rejection, disappointment. But start the conversation, pray. Can we pray about this?
Yeah.
Can we go and see a Christian counselor together? Can we both, yeah, agree we're going to wake up every day determined to be committed to our marriage? That's what Steve and I do. How do we last almost 39 years? Every day we get up, we don't say, yeah, it to each other, but my heart is, I'm, yep, committed to you today, just like I was the other 38, yep, and a half years. And that means work, hard, yep, work at times, yep, and conversation. So, and then I just, you know, something, I also understand that there's trauma and abuse that comes, yeah, into play with all of this. And I promise you, no one is wanting to, you know, I know that's hard.
And that Bible verse is by no means allowing, you know,
no,
when we say it's a man's duty, a wife's,
no,
duty,
right,
there's no way empowering, allowing that at all.
Yeah.
That's where you need help.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, and also just let me throw this in here for people who are getting married. If there is things in your past, if there's a sexual past history, if there's trauma and abuse, put it all out on the table before you get married.
Yeah.
Because I promise you that stuff will, yeah, raise its head in your marriage. It will.
Yep.
And so if you put it all out on the table, you're saying, if you love me,
yep, you love,
you
all,
love
of me,
all of me. And this is what is included in it. So I've just got a couple of things. I was listening to a podcast because, you know, Steve and I have been married, next year it'll be 40 years. And I'm always thinking, how do we do this better? Like, not that it's great, but, yep, you know, I'm always, yep, looking for, you know, tidbits of, you know, just information to go, wow, we could do that too, or utilize this. But this, this couple wrote a book. It's called 6 Pillars of Intimacy. Because I think we when we think of intimacy, sometimes we just lock it into sex.
Yeah.
But I think it's Elisa and Tony DiLorenzo, and they talk about 6 pillars. Emotional, which is sharing feelings, thoughts, emotions, and that can be so hard.
And girls, can I say this? When a man is trusting you with their feelings and emotions and they're being vulnerable, it is as significant as the raising of Lazarus.
Yeah.
It is, and no pun intended there, the raising of Lazarus. It is for a man to do that. I just want to say to you, don't walk on his feelings.
Yeah.
That is a very, for a man to do that, yeah, and open up, that's not quick and that's not easy. And a man is not more vulnerable than in that moment.
Right.
And we've had to work all this out.
Totally.
We're sitting here. We've had these conversations. Yeah. We're not pointing a finger at,
no,
you like we're sitting here in a seat of perfection. We've walked this out. We've,
totally,
figured this out, haven't we?
All right. Yeah, so well said. Physical, and a physical pillar is a little bit different to a sexual pillar in that physical is just holding hands. Like, you know, when you're first married, you can't keep your hands off each other. You're touching each other,
oh,
all the
those
time.
Those were the days.
And but I'm talking about just, you know, being next to each, sitting next to each other, watching TV. You know?
Hands, touching hands, holding me.
Oh my,
me,
gosh, you're hilarious.
Holding you.
Thank you, honey.
Sweet Sharon Gates. Bam, bam, bam.
That's awesome.
Touching me.
Who sang that song, by the way?
Huh?
Who sang that song?
Neil Diamond.
Oh, okay. Okay. I forget.
I'm,
I know,
sorry,
the, I know the,
that's
song,
a good
but
point,
I know the,
you're
song, but I forget.
You're making a good point. I'm distracted.
But just, you know, touching one another, and you're, if you're in the car, just grabbing one another's hand, put your hand on their shoulder.
Yep.
Spiritual, praying together, being in church—that's a pillar in,
yes,
our marriage. We don't realize what a pillar that is in our marriage. Financial, having a financial plan. Again, these are pillars,
yep,
of intimacy that we don't think necessarily that's intimacy, but I promise you, when,
yep,
all that stuff isn't sorted, guess what happens over here?
Yep.
Right? It affects all that stuff. Financial, having a fight, being honest in our dialogue and on the same page. And then recreational, which I thought was a great,
yeah,
fun, but a great pillar. Doing things together. So Steve and I are in the empty nest syndrome, which I promise you is a big adjustment when you go from noise and,
yes,
whatever. But now we're loving it, aren't we?
Oh, my gosh, it's heaven.
And we are getting to go on adventures,
yes,
and have so much fun together. And I've kind of, you know, Steve is an adventure holic kind of a thing. And so he loves adventures, and so I like a good book and sit by the pool. So I've had to really readjust and go, okay, I'll come on the adventures, and actually we've just had a lot of fun. So
we have. I remember, because I'm an outdoor guy. You leave me inside too long, I will go insane. COVID was driving me nuts, just being in that isolation thing. I actually one time sent out a text right in the middle of pretty heavy lockdowns in the early days, and I sent out a text to a couple of friends, going for a motorcycle ride. Who wants to come? 20 guys end up coming. The police pulled us over and had a little chat to us, and we apologised. So that's me. I love to be outdoors. I feel alive outdoors. Sharon gets refreshed by, like, literally sitting by the pool reading a book. So what we figured out is, how do we do this together? Because we have different interests. So, you know, I said, let's rent an RV. We're going to go to Yellowstone. But we couldn't because it was all shut down. So we actually went to Memphis, went and saw Graceland.
We loved every minute of it.
We did a tour of Elvis Presley's mansion.
It was so good.
Seriously. A behind-the-scenes tour.
We did every tour.
Seven hours long.
Thank you, honey. Thank you for that. That was a big sacrifice, I know, but I appreciated it.
I would rather have my toenails surgically removed.
Deposit into the relationship, right?
But she loved it.
I know.
It's like the time we went horse riding in Wyoming. Was it Wyoming? Mm-hmm. We went to Wyoming, and everyone could tell. We were having dinner one night. There's probably about 10 couples. And they go, okay, we can tell Sharon rides, and she's comfortable on a horse. We can tell you can't. What are you doing here? And they said, clearly, you're not comfortable around horses. I said, no, you don't understand. I'm only here for one reason. My wife loves horses, and I love my wife.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
But by the end of the week,
you were
riding cowboy.
You were, seriously. All right, and then the last one was just the sexual pillar, which is romance and initiating sex.
Yeah.
Which I think is so important.
Absolutely.
For both spouses to initiate sex.
And
by the way.
Well, we kind of talked about it. This might sound a little too much detail, but we kind of said, okay, let's make it so that, you know, it's almost like alternating. Who initiates it, we take turns. So if I initiate
tag.
It, the next time
tag,
you initiate
it.
Yeah. What's that?
I said tag. You're in.
Yeah.
But tag team in.
Because the other person wants to feel like they're being pursued.
Right.
That they want to be wanted.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Okay. So how do parents raise healthy kids in a broken world? And I want to say this. I do not say this in a way to make people who maybe your kids, you know, you kind of have some pain and angst about your kids, about the decisions they make. I do not sit here in a seat of perfection. You understand? I just want to say God's word works.
Yeah.
And I want to say, let's put the best practices of the wisdom of word of God. Amen? And so I just want to say, we did it. I promise you, I know what it's like. This is what happens. Parents, you get condemned by the enemy because you sowed your wild oats.
Right.
And then you're afraid now, how do I tell my kids to do something I didn't do? Well, number one, maybe you weren't a Christian. So here's the thought behind that. Don't give the devil permission to rip your kids off just because he ripped you off.
Right. Right.
Amen? And number two, what if you did... As a Christian, you didn't live right. Now you're saying, how do I teach my kids to live right? Don't let your past condemn you. You still live by the principle of the Word of God and the wisdom of the Word of God. And by the grace of God, our kids, all three of them, in today's world and culture, got married all as virgins. Now, before I was a Christian, trust me, that was not my story. I was a very unsaved guy. But the moment I gave my life to Jesus, till the day we married, I went into our marriage pure before God as a Christian. It can be done.
Yeah.
And we live by the Word of God. So as we were writing this message, we're working on this together. And I said, honey, it's almost like we got to remember there's a snake in the garden. There's like, the devil came after Eve. He was in the garden. As those words came out of my mouth, a snake was in our backyard. And I kind of went, is that God? Is that the devil? What is that? There was literally a snake in our backyard. Then a frog turned up, and then a big giant lizard was in the house all in one day. And I went, how did this happen? Then I realized I had a pest guy come and do all the pest stuff around the house. It gets the critters going.
Yeah.
So here's a thought. There is a snake in the garden. Do not let the enemy rip your kids off.
Yeah.
Sit down with your kids and practical things you can do. Number one is church life. Bring your kids up in the house of God. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. Our kids all lived very active lives. Josh was a very good soccer player. Sam was a great soccer player and baseball player. And Alyssa won her cheerleading squad, Norfolk Christian, won the national private school championship down in Florida. Josh won the national indoor soccer championship. Sam won the most valuable player in soccer, was an amazing baseball pitcher. Still to this day, I have not forgiven my son Josh for talking Sam out of playing baseball. Yeah. Sam, a whole season, pitched and no one got a hit. Whole season as pitcher up until the playoffs. And so, and I'm the baseball guy. I love baseball. Every other sport is a way distant second to me than baseball. And so we're pastoring a church. Sport is on Sunday. And we figured out how to teach our kids to love God's house and still go after all of the extracurricular activities, which I love. I'm into kids doing well academically. I'm into kids doing well athletically and in the arts. And I want to say God's house for our kids was never an option, was it?
No, never.
Mm-mm. Absolutely. So, yeah, well, so here's another thought. Be aware of what's being taught. That's why I love Tommy Altman. I've met with him 2 times, and I hope you do go up and meet him after the service and have conversation with him. He is running for the 2nd District in Virginia, and having talked to this man and heard what his convictions are, he's a graduate from Regent University. He's also an ordained minister, and he owns a tattoo store, which I think is pretty awesome, because if you notice today, I realize way too often I don't wear my wedding ring. It's terrible. And the reason for it is I play golf a lot. I love playing golf. And my golf ring is so big and chunky, it won't fit over the golf club. So by default, my wedding ring lives in my golf bag because it's on and off so often. So Tommy, I'm going to go to you and get my wife's initials tattooed on my wedding finger, SGK, which also happens to be my initials. So it's going to look like I'm in love with myself, but... Anyway, what I'm saying is be aware of what's being taught to your kids in regards to sex education. I love talking to this man. Let me tell you something. He's passionate about making sure we get the right things being taught in our schools. And so age-appropriate conversations. Ask questions. Let them talk. I think the greatest conversation piece for our kids growing up was the dining room, wasn't it? And all of some funny conversations. And, you know, when you put your kids to bed, it's another moment when they just talk. And so community group, youth, knowing their friends, family vacations. And this is a big one for us. How many parents have heard this? But all my friends, their parents let them do this, watch that movie and go out late at night and go to this party. And I go, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know your last name was, you know, the other name of the family. They go, your last name's Kelly. We have values by which we live our life by. And we live by the name Kelly, and that's who you are. You're a Kelly. And I remember one time there was a big thing with, you know, The Simpsons. This is really dating us now. But they were going, but all our friends watch The Simpsons. And I just never let the kids watch The Simpsons. I don't like The Simpsons. Never liked it. Disrespectful. Just contrary to all. Honor your parents. Honor your mother and father. You will live long. So for me, I'm not a prude. I watch movies. I like, you know, but I just went, that's not a movie. I don't want you learning from that. I'm telling you, I've seen my grandchildren's behavior change. But and I don't care what you, I'll say it. You know that little kid thing, that little brat Ryan, what's his name? Is that his name? I've watched my grandson's behavior change from watching how he talks to his parents. And my daughter and her husband went, no more. Now, there's a certain Ryan that's okay, but it's another one that's happened since then. And they said when they stopped Jack's watching that, his behavior went back to being polite again. And I just want to say, for my kids, it was The Simpsons. And I said, okay, finally, they said, all our friends watch it. All right, we'll just do 3 Bible verses. That's all we're going to do, and then we're going to watch it together. Halfway through watching it, they said, Dad, turn it off. We get it. We now see what you say. And so they were able to go back to school and say, yeah, you watch The Simpsons? Yeah, didn't like it. It was stupid. Yeah. So you can't just tell them what to do. You can't have hand-me-down convictions. Right. You've got to make sure they've got first-hand convictions. They got to get it for themselves. So having the conversations matter.
Very, really important.
And I'm telling you, parents, you might think I was being a little prudish on that little kid show. I'm telling you, watch what they learn from. It is amazing. You have to be intelligent and intentional.
Yeah, really good. Yeah. Really, really good. I just want to just speak to our divorced people in our church, and no one walks down the aisle expecting that to happen. And so I just want to say shame off you. For some, that was the only, that's the only way forward, was to completely separate from a spouse. As Christ followers, if we call ourselves believers and we are following Jesus wholeheartedly, we yield our whole life to follow him. And that includes our sex life too. And so we date like we would if we had never been married before. Mm-hmm. And especially if you have children in your home. Mm. Because you want to set your kids up to win, then you've got to give the example to them. I know for some, and even maybe some of our singles, it's like, man, where's the person for me? And it can feel very lonely. And I just want to say, look, there are people in our church who've been divorced and are, or even widowed, or have been single, and are very brave and doing it really well. Good. And I just want to say, get around them. You might sit here and go, well, that sounds good, but I don't have a conviction about that. I promise you, if you hang around some great people and you're in the Word of God together, that conviction will happen, because God wants his very best for your life. Yeah. And if you've given your life to Jesus, then part of our faith journey is trusting him with all of it. I do want to mention too, and I didn't in the first service, but there are a lot of marriages that are, pornography is a big thing in the marriage.
Yeah.
And I just want to say there's a great book that was recommended to us that both Steve and I have read, and it's called Broken Windows of the Soul by Dr. Don Leachy. We will have it available in our church this week.
Yep.
And again, with pornography or with other addictions, listen, get help. And, and you know, pornography is that thing where whenever it's mentioned, you know, people are like, oh, everybody's doing it. But then you say, well, are you doing it? Oh, no, I would never do it. It's, you know, it's a funny thing to me, because it's like, well, everybody, but no, not me. And I think, first of all, I want to say shame off people, because it's actually an issue of your soul.
Yep.
And what happens is, you know, wives can get very, very hurt.
Yep.
And but when they understand that what's going on inside of their husband, or vice versa, what's going on inside of their wife is actually an area of their soul that's broken.
Yes.
And this is what I want to say to you. If your spouse gets help and they're happy to, you know, they want to do that, that's amazing. But can you love them through it to get to the other side? I think that's an important thing too. Because when we get married, remember, it's all of me.
Yeah.
And sometimes that can come with some real challenges. So we just wanted to know.
And that's in all of our campuses. We'll have that available next weekend.
Yeah.
We tried to get it this weekend. We just couldn't.
Yeah.
And so Dr. Don Leachy is an absolute expert on this field. Amazing.
Just an amazing man.
So so the last thing we're going to do is just five ways to divorce-proof your marriage. For those who aren't married, remember these. For those who are married, here's some good thoughts. Real quick. Number one, Jesus.
Yeah.
Can anybody say amen to that?
Yeah.
There's nothing more attractive. Guys, if you want to actually strengthen your marriage, pray with your spouse daily. Not long, heavy, lay hands on her, you know, just pray with her. Lord, pray. Although lay hands on her is sort of even the context.
That's what we're talking about, right?
But you know what I'm saying? Like, pray for them. You don't know the security you're giving your wife. Amen. Keep Jesus at the center of it. Keep his word. Number two, date your spouse. We didn't do this growing up in our married life. Ed and Lisa Young had this great thought about now our kids all do it. Sometimes they go, hey, you want to go out tonight? Sorry, dating my wife. And I went, oh, darn it. And so, okay. Oh, that's a good thing. Okay. Number three, have an open, honest conversations regularly. And I think that's really important. We've done that. I honestly think that's why we're still married.
We have.
And I don't mean that like it ever got to the point where it's about to end, but I think what's kept us happily married is we are willing to talk to each other.
Honest, open dialogue, vulnerability.
Yep, absolutely. Number four, be forgiving. And when I say be forgiving, the Bible says, listen, God takes your sin and he drops it into a sea of forgetfulness. He throws it as far as the east is to the west. If your spouse seeks and genuinely offers you what's the word I'm looking for? An apology.
Yeah.
Please don't remind them on the next argument of something you said you forgave them for. Let it go. Like that song, Elsa. Let it go.
Frozen.
Frozen. That's it. Okay. And then number five, have sex often. Praise the Lord. This is what this book's all about. A matter of fact, I don't know if you'd heard about Ed and Lisa Young, but they did this several years ago in their church. They put a giant bed like this up on the roof of their church and were up there for 7 days and actually put out a challenge to the whole church for every married couple, to have sex every day for 7 days. And they put the challenge out there. CNN got a hold of it, went all over the country. And we're going to put the challenge out. We're going to have Ed and Lisa put the challenge out to you. Honey, I'm looking forward to this because straight after this service, you and I get on a plane.
Oh, my gosh.
And we're traveling for 35 hours. Yeah. That's going to be interesting for us to fulfill that commitment.
You are bad. Bad to the bone.
Have a look at the video real quick, Ed and Lisa.
What's up, Wave Church? Ed and Lisa Young here. We're so thrilled about this series, Full House, a series about marriage and family. Lisa and I wrote a book that we're very, very excited about called The Sex Experiment. But wait a minute, it's more than just sex, Lisa. It's intimacy and how intimacy in marriage, connectiveness in marriage leads to a greater depth in your physical relationship.
So that's why we're challenging you as a church, married couples.
Yeah, married couples.
Married couples, 7 days of intimacy, 7 days of sex. It's going to be an amazing thing. Fellowship Church participated in this many years ago, but hey, I'm sure people still do recurring. We want to challenge you, Wave Church, to participate in the sex experiment and really understand intimacy in your marriage.
We'll see you guys at Full House, and I guarantee you, the nursery is going to grow.
Amen. So listen, this is for every married couple, one each, if you'll grab that as you head out today. But I do channel like both in all of our campuses and everybody online. And listen, online, I want you to lean in on this. I want to make sure you're not just you feel like you're left out of the room. You are in the room. I'm going to ask every married couple to stand. And even if you're not with your spouse and you're married, would you stand as well? Because we want to pray for the marriages today. I'm going to ask Sharon to pray for every married couple. And listen, are you going to take the challenge?
Yes.
Come on. You're going to... Yes! Are you going to take the challenge?
Yes!
All right. All right, honey, would you pray for us and praise the Lord. Pray that it be a blessed, fruitful week.
Father, we just thank you for the gift of marriage and the gift of sex. And Lord, I just pray over every married couple. Lord, I pray in this next season that there would be a closeness, an openness, a vulnerability, a transparency that you would really build into their marriage. And they would do the work as they can, again, realize they are committed to each other forever. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. I pray that, Father, even if there are just some tender hearts today, that this has been hard or difficult.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would do what only you can do. Just bring healing.
Thank you.
Bring some conviction. Bring some challenge. Lord, if we need to kick up the pants, do it.
Yes.
But Lord, that we would be committed to our spouse in a fresh and new way, committed to our sex lives in a fresh a new way, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. You can be seated. Come on, have you enjoyed this series?